It's Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on the official home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
One hour down, 2 hours to go, one Ginsburg missing in action. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The previous segment was brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill. Be sure to join Illegal Curve Hockey at the Cheer Bar and Grill for their weekly appearances, where we get on the mic and we give some things away every now and then.
We do.
Not so bad.
Watch the away games.
Yeah. You know, a date with Ezzy, win a date with Ezzy Ginsburg, like win a date with Tad Hamilton.
Who are you on today?
I'm more on early in the morning than I am in the mid. I don't mind waking up early in the morning, and then I sort of fade by about 11. By about 11, I need a nap. I'm pretty much an 85-year-old man.
You're an 85-year-old man.
Is pretty much what it boils down to. For all those who want to wear the latest in Illegal Curve gear, go to illegalcurve.com. Check out our new Illegal Curve toques, soon to be available, brought to you by Andy at CompuStitch. Good, long-time listener of the show. He's put together a nice Illegal Curve toque. We can wear it out on the winter rinks, as you were, if you're playing some shinny. You enjoy some shinny, don't you there, Richie?
Oh, hold on.
Another update? Is he here, but he's locked out, right?
Richie, I will be there in 15 minutes. You will have to let me in. No wallet.
No wallet? Where is his wallet?
But yet, it's very odd, the contrast, Timmy, that you have here, Andrew. You know, 11 minutes ago, I'm on my way. 1 minute ago, I will be there in 15 minutes.
I suspect he went the wrong way.
And also, the road conditions that set, you know, if you're listening to the either podcast version or online right now, Winnipeg weather right now is not what Ilya Brizglov wanted. So,
pretty much what we're saying is if you happen to be driving south on Pembina Highway, just get off the road.
Yeah, if you're anywhere near Ezzy, get off the road.
Just get off the road, south on Pembina Highway. He actually might just crash. I wouldn't be surprised if he just crashes his car through the brick walls here. Just like, you know, show up like, you know, like Homer driving his car through the garage or something. Just like in the studio next to us, we just see his car just come barreling through the wall there. I would not be the least bit surprised. Where's his wallet?
Yeah, I don't even want it. We'll ask him when he gets here.
Well, he's definitely not going to know where his wallet is.
No, that's true.
What car is he driving?
His own car.
I'm not so sure about that.
Neither am I.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. He may have commandeered a taxi. He's commandeered. Let's talk about the week that was in the land of the Winnipeg Jets. Started terribly last Saturday.
Well, that was the Columbus game. And the game in Columbus last Saturday when they lost 2-1 was by far and away the most boring NHL hockey game I've seen in 15 years.
The only good thing about that game is we were able to watch it while drinking heavily.
Exactly. The only good thing about that game was that it ended. It was actually unbearably boring. And it was not exciting. There was few scoring chances. It was a sheer lack of effort by both sides, I thought. Both sides were not into it. They didn't, and they fed off each other's lack of interest.
Yeah.
And by basically...
I think the only one who was into that game, our good friend Ali K.
Yeah, in Columbus. And you know what, Drew? It's funny that game, maybe that game was the tipping point for this team. Because they came out on Monday. They played a really solid game against Tampa Bay. You leave with a 5-2 final that game?
Yeah.
You leave 5-2. You beat a good team. You were able to handle the first line, especially when they loaded up LeCavalier with St. Louis and Stamkos. You exposed their defense. You played the 1-3-1 exactly how you were supposed to. You were passing the puck to the neutral zone. You were tipping pucks in and getting in on the forecheck, or you weren't letting them get set. You're drawing penalties. Pavlik played very well again. You did a lot of good things. And one thing you noticed in that game, more than any game so far this year, in my opinion, was the effort and the execution of the system, which I think reached its highest level on Thursday, Drew.
What is their system?
Well, that's a good question. Generally speaking, on their forecheck, it's a 1-2-2. So they throw
one guy goes after
guy
the puck.
In, which is a neutral zone trap, basically.
Every system's a neutral zone trap.
So they throw one guy in on the forecheck. They try and angle him to the boards. The winger on that side of the boards will take away that angle. The other winger will take away the middle, and the defenseman will play up fairly closely so you can't, you know, so there's no gap. You know, they talk about gap control, right?
Right.
There's no gaps there, and so there's no room to skate. They executed the system really well. I thought, and I tweeted this, by far and away, Thursday's game was by far and away Claude Noel's best coach game, and that includes Pascal Vincent and Charlie Hattie, because it's a team effort, and who do you think is rolling out the defense and forwards all the time?
And you say that because of the skill in which they were able to match lines with the Capitals?
The Winnipeg Jets on Thursday evening got every single matchup they wanted. And I know they play at home and they get last change, but you can fiddle around, and I'm interested to see why Bruce Boudreau didn't try and change that at all. And maybe he liked the matchups he was getting. Not necessarily sure why, but so this is how he worked it. Claude Noel got the GST line and Buffalo and Stewart, a five-man unit, out against Ovechkin's line every single time he hit the ice at even strength.
Let me ask you this. Buffalo is not known for his defensive prowess. No. So why would they want Buffalo? What does Buffalo bring to the game in order to match him up that they thought that's a good matchup against Ovechkin and et cetera?
Let's mention the first 5 minutes of the game, they got exposed about three times before they settled down.
Yeah, that's fine, though.
Okay. That defense combination against that line. After that, at the five-minute mark of the game, 5 minutes into it, after that, shut it down. What do they like about that matchup, Drew? Well, the read is, and Ken Hitchcock alluded to this back in the Olympics with Rick Nash, you know, putting Rick Nash against Ovechkin and matching up. The idea with Ovechkin now is to take away his space and put a big body on him. And Buffalo's a big body, yep. One of the few big bodies who's bigger than Alex Ovechkin or stronger than him. And you can take away space with his long reach, and he can take away and he can be physical. And if you watch Buffalo in the neutral zone, when Ovechkin would cut between the between the Jets' blue line and the red line, Buffalo was on him.
Is he buying in?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Is he listening?
Question. It's an interesting question, and you can't use one game as a sample size to determine that.
I thought he played well against Tampa, too.
He did, too.
It's two games only.
Give me a 10-game sample.
Right. But it does seem like they're getting through to him a little bit more than obviously earlier in the season.
Patience, Drew. You know, everybody wanted him at forward. Take it easy. Let him.
Well, I mean, everybody, the armchair pundits wanted him, at forward.
Of which there are many.
Oh, well, a city full of them.
But back to the matchup. So what he did was he got that five-man unit up against Ovechkin's line, okay? And then he got the Bogosian-Oduya combination, which, by the way, we talk a lot about the Buffalo-Stewart combination, and they played pretty well. But of the four goals, and they've contributed to the lack of goals again, so that needs to be qualified first. Of the four goals this team has allowed since the change to Buffalo-Stewart, three of the four goals the Stewart-Buffalo line was on for. Now, they play more minutes, and they play against better players, so that needs to be taken into account.
Right.
Okay? But they have been. And then that leads to my next point, in that I think as much as the attention as the Stewart-Buffalo combination has received, the Oduya-Bogosian combination has been terrific.
Yeah.
And has not gotten enough attention because that move, one move led to the other one. And that pairing, leading to back to the matchups, referring back to the matchups, that pairing, Bogosian and Oduya, was matched up against the Semin line. Now, they got victimized on the first goal by Semin. But after that, same thing. After that,
they shut him down.
Shut him down. And Semin did see some time on the first line, but they shut him down. And Bogosian looks good right now. And Oduya, for all that's said about him, has played very well over the past 10 games.
Yeah.
And has been an asset, not a liability.
You look at when they get Hainsey back, and I mean, haven't really heard any updates, so I mean, which is odd.
Yeah.
But when they get Hainsey and they get Enstrom back, and if they can keep the Stewart, Buffalo, Bogosian, Oduya combinations playing well, you got a top six all of a sudden that's doing something for you.
Yes.
And with no disrespect at all to Mark Flood or Ardos Kolda, who both have played a very nice game together.
Flood's played better than Kolda, but yes, I've been impressed. And just to finish off what we were speaking about, the Kolda and Washington's a deep team, guys. The Kolda Flood combination played a very good game, although there were some chances against the Marcus Johansson line on Washington, which is their third line.
Right.
But that's Joel Ward on that line too.
But it really does speak to the matching that Claude Noel did.
That's the big scheme of things. That's what's the most important. Claude Noel is utilizing the last change, is feeding into the matchup game, which I think is important. He doesn't have the kind of team. I think matchups are always important, Drew.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the kind of team that he can just roll out his lines and they're just that good. So that is very important, how he can match it up. He puts players in positions to succeed. The GST line's a checking line. Put them up against the other team's best line. They played really well. They didn't get outplayed, and that's a win.
What has impressed me in the Tampa Bay game and the Washington game that they hadn't been doing earlier in the year is they couldn't play with a lead. They didn't know what to do. They didn't play with a lead at all.
Exactly.
Tampa Bay, they took the lead and then they increased it. And they really didn't let Tampa Bay, you know, find any room to make a comeback. Washington, they suffocated them.
That third period is exactly what you want to play with a lead. The third period they played, I'm sure Noel will take out the tape and say, hey, we got a lead, so how you play with it.
And I wanted to make a point, because I was actually having this conversation with my father and my grandfather, who both attended the game on Thursday night, about how, you know, and they made the point that Washington outshot the Jets. I said, yes, but the reason Washington outshot the Jets is the Jets were perfectly happy in that third period to not take any shots on goal.
And that goes back to score effects of a game, and if you're leading a game, you're generally outshot.
That's right.
Also goes to the point of the power plays that they against them.
Right.
By the way, is there somebody can check on this? I don't know how you find Elias Sports Bureau or somebody like that.
Well, we'll talk to
how many five on
the Jets staff man on Twitter.
How many five on threes have they had? And like, it's been they have a five on three against every game.
It's got to be the most in the NHL by far.
Oh, by far.
I would think it was Jets stat man on Twitter.
Yeah.
Who's who works for Elias, I think. No, he works for Stats Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at the Jets games. He'll find that answer out for us, I'm sure. But, that's the part that's really impressed me is they're playing with the lead and they know how to hold that lead.
Their structure. They're throwing one forechecker in. They're not getting caught deep.
Yeah.
They are in the defensive zone. They're collapsing low, sometimes five guys below the top of the circle. All those things are what good teams in this league do. And before that, they weren't doing that. They were running around like chickens with their head cut off.
That's right.
And this is a new coach for this group. As we mentioned, this is third coach in 3 years.
And it seems like they don't want. It doesn't seem like they're going to fire him this week, despite what the calls were last week from the
well, yeah,
pundits.
People want to fire the coach after what we say 15 games in his first.
Why isn't he more fiery? Why isn't he more fiery? Why isn't he yelling and throwing water bottles? Well, you know, maybe that doesn't work. Just saying, guys. You know, little perspective.
That's exactly
out
right.
There. That's all you need, a little perspective. Anyways, I want to talk about line matchups, but I want to do that after the commercial break.
Because
we have, you know, we're expecting Eric Fehr is either going to return today or he's going to return, next week. They're off until Wednesday when they're back in Washington after today's game. So we expect Eric Fehr to return. I want to talk about how that's going to affect the team. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. At ICSEG is somewhere on his way down here. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. This is Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day. Jets Flyers gets underway at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Hustler and Lawless follow us at 11. Rick Ralph with the official Jets pregame show at 1 o'clock. I'd like to welcome...
Hold on. Go ahead
now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to welcome this homeless man that we've taken in off the streets. You look better than I thought you would look.
Yeah, you do. You shower?
I did shower.
Hold on.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your
I like that.
This is like when Kramer is on the bus with the tow and he makes all the stops. If you knew you were late, why would you shower?
Or the 2G fruits.
Yeah, did you do? Why would you shower? You don't shower normally.
I have to shower. I don't leave my house without showering. Okay, before I go off and explain why I was late, because you guys know...
Not late.
Absolutely.
Horribly late. You're an hour and 20 minutes late.
As everyone knows,
How are you going to be up at 5:45 between Christmas and New Year's when we're doing this show?
Well, you want me to get into that now? I could have been here half an hour ago. I obviously showered. I read the paper.
You read the paper?
I checked my emails.
You have a BlackBerry!
What? You read the paper? Are you serious or joking?
Richie, you guys were supposed to wake me up.
We're supposed to wake you up. I texted you at 6...
That's not true.
At 6:33, and it said... Hold on, it said...
I don't get texts that early. My plan only cuts in after 7.
It said...
That's not true.
At 6:36 a.m. I texted you.
I never got that. Was it a text or a BBM?
BBM.
You definitely did get it. You might not know how to operate. You may have dumped your phone in a snowbank last night, but definitely got that.
Did you actually shower, though?
That went to my... I did shower. Well, hold on. Last night, me and Richie were hanging out, prepping for the show, doing research, what we always do. It's all about the radio show.
Yeah, none of that is true, by the way. You certainly weren't prepping for anything.
I feel bad. And Richie asked me last night at about, I think it was about 8 or 9, do you want to come with Drew and I? My answer is yes. I woke up today, and I actually felt like Macaulay Culkin at Home Alone when all of his family's gone. I woke up, and it was, you know, 8:35, 8:40, and I looked at my BlackBerry, no messages. That message never happened. So
I'm going to look, and I'm looking at his BlackBerry right now to see if that message happened.
I would like to formally announce that the Big Show has signed me. I'm leaving the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I like getting up early so much that I'll be going to the Big Show with who does the Big Show? No, with Jay and Troy.
Yeah.
And you guys really let me down. I mean, you know, this is my life, Drew. I spend all week prepping, trying to get to bed early, just like I did last night. I was in bed early. I got up late because my clock wasn't set to daylight savings times. It happened in New York, so I didn't have time to do the Winnipeg adjustments. Richie's gone.
Richie's leaving the studio. He's had enough of this. So let me just get your... Let me see if I can get the excuses in order. One, we never called you.
Which we always do before every show. You guys always call me and pick me up.
What are you talking about? Your dad was awake, listening to the show, and listening to us make fun of you.
Just so you know,
and didn't wake you up.
My dad is my roommate, just so everyone knows. Just so everyone isn't wondering, why would Ezra be with his dad? Why wouldn't he be with, you know...
A beautiful buxom blonde?
Exactly. Well, buxom, that's a word somebody from the 50s would use. Or in their 50s, like Drew.
It's pretty much the same thing.
So your dad was listening to the show while we were making fun of you, and you were sleeping.
I wake up, go downstairs, and my dad is sitting down there. He's been awake for a few hours, reading the paper. Richie and Drew are making fun of you. You should really get down there. Why didn't you wake me up, Dad? Oh, I thought you were gone.
He thought you were gone? Where did he think you were, that you were 3 hours late to the show? I picked Richard up at 6:30 this morning.
We better get going here because you guys have really let me down. This is my last show. I'm moving to the Big Show.
You're moving to the Big Show? Did Troy and Jay know this? Or
things are happening here.
Things are happening? Yeah. Where's your wallet?
You have it.
I don't have your wallet.
Yeah, where's your wallet, Ezzy?
I'm going to need that for the Bombers game on Sunday because I owe you a few nips.
You can pay your debts in nips. Seriously, though, where is your wallet?
I have no idea.
Well, you lost your wallet. What time did you get home last night?
Yeah, like...
I was robbed. I was pickpocketed.
You were pickpocketed. On the subway?
Not on the subway. I was pickpocketed...
At a subway. Sorry, at a subway.
I was pickpocketed at a subway, yes. Yeah.
So you're sure hit McDonald's up at 2:30.
No, I went to bed really early last night to get ready for the show.
Yeah.
You know that we read your tweets.
I was in bed at 11 o'clock.
We read your tweets and BBMs from last night after midnight, right?
That's not cool.
During the first hour.
We sold you out really to the entire city that's listening.
Someone stole my phone and started at-tweeting my late-night contacts. That wasn't me.
If anybody that follows you would know that's not the least bit true.
You can ask anyone. I was in bed at 11 o'clock last night. I prepped. You guys didn't wake me up. I usually, Drew, you know that I take responsibility for my actions, but you guys, as friends and as cohorts on this show, it's unacceptable. This will be my last show. Richie's conspiring to do something over here. I feel like Richie's going to bring in everyone who like saw me last night, and it's going to be like
Ezra Ginsberg. This is your life. How many shots did you have last night?
I don't drink. You know I don't drink. Too much.
Ezzy last night at 2 a.m. on Twitter. Where the party at?
the party just closed, Ezzy. Your tweets last night were fabulous, I must say. I mean, the people you were tweeting, you shouldn't be allowed to have a BlackBerry. You shouldn't be allowed to have Twitter and drink at the same time. What song did you sing at karaoke last night, Ezzy?
I didn't drink. I maintain I didn't drink.
What song did you sing at karaoke?
Is there video of that on the internet?
I hope so. I'm planning on acquiring it.
Well, our good friend H-Bomb and I were doing some singing. I think there might have been some Def Leppard. And I think maybe the Cranberries. There's a
Cranberries.
There were a couple of nice, really nice numbers.
Lawless just texted me. I love the line, my dad is my roommate.
But honestly, though, just so everyone is clear, because
I'll tell you who doesn't like that line, Ezzy's dad. Yeah.
I want to go on the record, just so everyone knows, because, I mean, I do have a pretty polished reputation.
Yeah.
I I went to bed early last night. My wallet was gone because I lost it at a Subway, and you guys didn't pick me up, and it's really unfortunate because you know that I've never been late for a show, Drew.
No, certainly never.
Never.
No, never.
I'm on time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you get into any car? First of all, I'm shocked that you A, knew where your car was. That's the part I'm very
shocked about. I have no idea whose car I drove here.
You commandeered a cab, didn't you? There's a cab with its beacon light going off right now.
I don't own a Ford Focus. I have no idea how I started it.
Doesn't Remus own a Ford Focus?
Basically, you killed Remus.
Yeah. No, I'm not violent at all. No. But I'm glad I'm here, and I'm hoping that we can get over.
So let's talk Jets, Drew. What do we actually have planned for this segment?
This segment was supposed to be talking about line matchups and everything else, but we can why don't we get the commercial break early, and we'll bring on Bruce Daubig and for a little bit longer than we had scheduled.
Let's do that.
Is he here? Oh. Yeah, he's in the studio.
We're gonna call him.
Yeah, that's usually how we get our guests. Is we call them on the phone. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join the Illegal Curve Ezzy Show, as far as I'm concerned. Coming up next from the Globe and Mail, Bruce Daubigan. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Breaking news.
News release from the Winnipeg Jets just came out. The news we've been expecting. Jets have activated Eric Fair from the injured reserve. No word yet if he's going to be in the lineup for today's game against the Flyers, but the news we've been expecting for a while now, Eric Fair is on the active roster, and we'll after next segment, we'll discuss what Eric Fair's addition to the Jets
absolutely
means. Let's go.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Let's welcome to the program our good friend from the Globe and Mail, Bruce Daubigan. Bruce, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hope it's warmer in Winnipeg than it is in Calgary.
Probably not. I got to be honest. We've had a little bit of a snowstorm the last day or so. So it will be a little bit frosty tomorrow at Ken Edin Stadium for the Jets. Bombers, Ticats, Eastern Conference, Eastern Division Final.
Yeah, I went to the Mitchell Bowl last night. The Dinos versus Laval. It was about -30, and I give the boys credit for going out there. It was a cold one.
I give you credit for showing up there. I mean, you know, I'm as big a fan of Canadian University football as anybody else, but Friday night -30 at McMahon Stadium would be a little bit too frosty for my behind.
That's why God invented press boxes.
Very true. Good point, Bruce. You know, we got to start with the James Reimer, mother, Dave Feschuk controversy going on in Toronto right now. Is the Leafs organization just making much ado about nothing here?
Well, they're very sensitive. They're trying to control the message. Hockey teams don't see a big picture. They only see the small picture, which is themselves. And they want to control the information about injuries, et cetera, for various reasons. And then when you add in that Ron Wilson is one of the more controlling kind of head coaches that there is, that you knew that it would be a showdown if somebody tried to defy him. And that's, of course, what Dave Feschuk did. And I just think it was good reporting.
Well,
you look at the big picture of this thing. This isn't the first time they've talked to Reimer's mother. It's not like, we can't get anything about a concussion out of the team, so let's call his mother. They had dealt with his mother in the past and done features. And at that point, when they did features and called her up to talk to her, the team was fine about it. But when she gave up the information that, in fact, Reimer had concussion problems in the past, it freaked them out. And most teams are controlling. The Leafs are extremely controlling when it comes to that sort of stuff.
So journalistically, there was no line crossed by any stretch. This is just solid reporting from your perspective?
Absolutely. I mean, it's related to the work. It's related to the job that he does. It's not like we're trying to find out, does he party too much, et cetera, et cetera. This is something that affects the team and affects the long-term success of the team. And as a journalist, if you have a contact like that, I think you use it, and I don't think there's any problem with it. We've just gotten a little bit silly about the injury stuff in the NHL, as if somehow it's a secret. When we saw how Reimer got hit, and we know what the problem was, but the team somehow thinks that if they don't admit what the problem is, that the players in the other team won't know what it is. Well, everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows what the problem is, and so this whole idea of, well, if we could just keep a lid on it, we'd be okay, that stuff doesn't work.
I was going to ask about that, Bruce. You know, the NHL's injury policies, does that need to change? I mean, if you look at the NFL, you see toe injury or shoulder injury. Why is the NHL able to do upper lower body now, not only in the playoffs but during the regular season?
Well, because they can. I mean, the thing that bothers me about it is somebody who will show up for a Jets game paying $250 for a seat that night is basically being told by the club, you know what, just pay your money, shut up, you don't need to know. You don't need to know what, you know, the health of one of our players. You don't need to know that sort of stuff. I think it's a very condescending attitude. I think that the people who pay the freight, who show up for the games, have a right to know why so-and-so isn't playing that night. You know, I put out $250 and he's not in the lineup, and you're telling me it's an upper body injury. Well, I don't know anything about it. What does that mean? I don't think it's a problem being more honest. Now, if hockey were a bigger betting sport, if this was a sport that a lot of people wagered on, because hockey, frankly, is not really a big betting sport in Vegas and throughout the world. But if it was a bigger betting sport, I think they'd have to do what the NFL does, which is get more specific. But for now, I just don't like the attitude about it.
Bruce, can you tell our listeners who Ross Greenberg is and what his hiring will mean to the NHL?
Well, the first time I saw some of his work, I don't know if you saw this, but it's got to be at least 10 years ago, Major League Baseball brought out a couple of documentaries called When It Was a Game. And these were documentaries that they had collected a whole bunch of Super 8 film that had been shot privately by people back in the 30s and 40s of baseball. And it was all kind of behind-the-scenes stuff shot in the early color film days. It was not the stuff that the team had shot or any of those people had shot. And Ross was the one who did those documentaries, and that was kind of his intro into big time producing. Since then, of course, he's become a producer at things like the Olympics. He does golf, and he is the guy responsible for the HBO series 24/7, and then the Broad Street Bullies. Those are his products, and he's a first rate sports documentarian. And the fact that the NHL and he have kind of hooked up, I think, is a real good sign for hockey fans. Because it means we're going to have some, you know, not just documentaries that we can see at the time and say, well, you know, that's kind of neat, but something you can look back at 10 years later and the thing still holds up. And he produces quality stuff. He's now signed a deal where he's cooperating with the NHL, but he's also doing a deal with NBC that he's doing documentaries for a lot of their properties, which, of course, would be golf and the NHL and a couple other things. So he's a first-rate filmmaker.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. We're joined by Bruce Daubigan of the Globe and Mail. Bruce, one of the verses, as we know, is transitioning from Versus, which nobody knew what that was, to the NBC Sports Channel. That'll officially take place early on in the new year. What has been the response so far to that transition?
You mean on the hockey side or just with NBC in general?
Both.
Well, in terms of on the hockey side, I don't think it's moving the needle particularly on the viewership numbers, at least not yet. Even with the NBA out, NHL viewing numbers are static in some places. In fact, they're down. But I think long term, what it means is that you're going to be connected with not just Versus or the NBC Sports Channel, but all of the NBC channels. There's about 30 or 40 of them. And in terms of promotion, you can promote on the CNBC, MSNBC. All of those kind of networks will be there. The main network will be there to promote. I think it's a good thing for the NHL in the United States. It gives them a lot of chance to diversify. Sometimes, you know, it might be something as simple as getting an NHL character or an NHL jersey onto an NBC sitcom, things like that. That's the kind of benefit that this thing has for them. And I, in the last 4 or 5 years, the NHL's communication strategy has gotten a lot better, a lot more enlightened than it ever has been. And in some cases, I think they're being a bit of an industry leader in it. So I think it's been a win-win situation for NBC because they don't really pay a ton of money for NHL. And it's certainly been good for the NHL because they get this huge apparatus of NBC Universal that can promote their product.
Bruce, you know, in terms of, you mentioned the NBA and the lockout, and who knows if they're going to come back this year at all. I know during the NHL lockout, I took more of an interest in basketball. You mentioned already that the ratings really haven't increased that much. Do you foresee an increase in ratings if the NBA cancels the season?
Well, I don't see anything really happening until after the football season, after Christmas, when the football season starts to disappear. That's usually when American fans really start to concentrate on the NBA. I'm still not 100% convinced that they won't play this year. I think at some point we're going to probably have basketball after the new year. But sorry, dropped my phone there.
Either that or you were being mauled by something, so I'm glad it's just the phone.
No, my dog is whining to get out the door. But anyhow, yeah. I think that you could see a bit of a spike when we get towards February, March, April, maybe even the first round of the playoffs if the NBA isn't there. But the NBA thing is a very – well, right now it's not a fluid situation. Nobody's talking, but
sure. –
I always say that people, you really have to take into account what happened in the NHL lockout and how it's affecting the NBA lockout and the players and their solidarity, et cetera. The NHL players collapsing the way they did back in 2005 has had a real impact on the rest of the industry. And all the owners in the other sports now basically think that the players will cave. The NBA, the Major League Baseball people, they've just got a new CBA. They signed one without any kind of a lockout, right? Because I think the players and owners both know there's no value in it. But the NBA seems to be headed in that direction. And look, there's Americans who will never like hockey. There's no point getting excited about it and thinking you could get a 10 rating. But I think it might get a marginal push when we come to February, March.
You know, hockey in Canada, Bruce, generally they have the same look as last year, although there are some changes. What's been your take so far on Elliot Friedman in studio all the time, and obviously after Jeff Merrick's departure? Have you liked that move, or you think that's not a good utilization of his skill set?
Well, I think Elliot's one of the two or three most talented people. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that they're making more use of him. You know, having him stuck in a hallway asking guys what do you have to do in the third period to get back into this was a total waste of his talents. I think this is a real asset to them, getting him into the studio. The show looks a little static this year. I mean, other than that, there's not a whole lot that's all that new.
Right.
They had a bit of a boost because the Leafs got off to a hot start, and then for the doubleheader game, Edmonton has played pretty well off the hop, although they've fallen off lately. But I like the move with Elliot. He's a first-rate journalist. The whole question with Hockey Night in Canada and CBC is just, you know, are they going to be able to hang on to that property in a couple of years, right, when the new bids come out for the new contract for NHL hockey in Canada? And right now, most people are betting that they don't.
Yeah, I probably speak on behalf of everyone here. We're big fans of Elliot Friedman, and we agree with
him. Yeah. I've known Elliot, too, back in Toronto when I was working at the Fan Radio in Toronto a long time ago. Elliot was there as a producer in the back, just this geeky, nerdy kid in the back. So I've known him for a long time. And I've been very pleased to see his progress. And he's become one of the two or three go-to guys in the whole industry. Guys like him and Pierre LeBrun and Bob McKenzie are the kind of go-to guys, it's certainly in Canada.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be happier. It's happening to a good guy.
You know, we're talking about Elliot Friedman, and we're talking about Jeff Merrick leaving. What about some of the print media journalists defecting to radio? We've kind of noticed a little bit of a trend. Why do you think we're starting to see more and more of that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of this is being pushed by Rogers, has decided to get serious about Sportsnet and their sports content. They've added the sports magazine now. They've hired people like Stephen Brunt, who used to work for us. Jeff Blair still works for us, but he does radio in Toronto for Rogers. Michael Grange is another guy who's gone over. Listen, these guys need content. They need content, and they need people who can get them a running start. They don't have the time to bring in young guys and young women who don't know anything yet and who will develop in 10 years. They don't have time for that. So they have to hire the people right now. And to be very honest, they're paying a very good buck to the people who've gone over. I mean, it's a real issue for the newspapers across the country, in particular in the Toronto area, that they're being cherry picked for some of their best writers. And you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to buy instant integrity by getting a guy like Stephen Brunt or Michael Grange or one of those people, or a Damien Cox, and they're trying to buy instant credibility. And in some respects, it's working.
Bruce, we can offer you all the bagels you can eat to come right for us. I don't know if that's going to be enough to...
As long as the sesame seed.
that's too much. You've crossed the line.
Well, hey, listen, you're talking to a boy who's brought up in St. Viateur, but bagels in Montreal in the old days.
Great place.
I'm a bagel guy.
Great
there
place.
Okay, well, bagels, and we'll get you some smoked meat also. There you go. That's the signing bonus.
Yep.
Bruce, last question here. Our sister station in Vancouver recently re-upped the Canucks for a pretty penny. What does the Canucks, how are the Leafs radio rights negotiations going to unfold in the next year or so?
Well, I think we saw them set a price level in Vancouver that you're going to see either matched or exceeded in Toronto. I think there's going to be hot bidding for the Toronto Maple Leafs rights between the TSN radio that's just started up there. And I guess that's your sister station there.
Yeah.
And then the Fan in Toronto. I think both of them want a piece of that action. And so I think the Vancouver numbers that came out are going to be good news for the Leafs in terms of knowing what they can sell their rights for. And for Vancouver, they had the miracle run last year. They had fantastic numbers all through the playoffs. So, it's clear that as a radio property, the Canucks work. And that's a big if the Leafs ever win, they will be a huge prospect for somebody, whoever has the rights in Toronto. I think it's really important for TSN Radio in Toronto, which is the newcomer and trying to make an impact. I think it's really important that they get the rights and get an identity in the market so people will start coming to them, because it's real tough to break in when you've had somebody like the Fan station there has had a 30-year run-up to basically get people into the market. So I think it's all good news for the Leafs in terms of what they get for their rights.
I lied. One more question. How does the sale, the teachers' pension plan, selling their share in the Leafs, going to affect the radio rights?
If, and this is a big if again, Rogers happens to be the ones who buy that share of the Leafs, and that's certainly problematic at this moment. If they do that, I think you'll find that the Fan will get the rights almost automatically, the radio rights. But if, let's say, it's this American group or somebody else, I think you're going to see that it'll be a sort of an even competition between the two radio stations. So there's a lot on the line here on the corporate side. And as I say, TSN has got a real investment in getting this radio station to work in Toronto, and that would be a nice thing to have. Certainly, a nice identity that they could push, because TSN is pretty much the hockey station.
Bruce Daubigan of the Globe and Mail, thanks very much for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Okay, man. Keep warm.
We will, Bruce. You too. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Let's head to commercial break. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day here on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you missed any of the program so far, you can download the show on iTunes, search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. We just heard from Bruce Daubigan of the Globe and Mail, still to come, Anthony Sanfilippo of the Journal Register Company Newspapers, and Neil Greenberg of ESPN Insider and the Washington Post.
Drew, I know we have some news to get to, but this show is flying by. I mean,
I want it's gone!
Wow. My wallet, you know what, Tim? I'm worried about this because I had like $10 in my wallet. And I mean, you can replace the credit cards, but $10, that's,
Somebody gave you a credit card?
You have a credit card?
Yeah, it's I think it's Giant Tiger.
Yeah, it's a Giant Tiger has a credit card. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got a little bit of a limit. I don't want to, brag. It's like $400, but like it's gone. But this show is flying by. Bruce Daubigan was great. I'm going to come an hour and 20 minutes late every show. right now, Drew's looking at me and smiling, but he's like,
I'm actually plotting your, your destruction.
Like right now, you're thinking of what should I write on his termination letter?
A lot of tweets coming in about your performance, Ezzy. MB Jet at Illegal Curve. How will this be performance managed? ? The best job in the world, and you stroll in an hour and a half late. Tisk, tisk.
He is right about being the best job in the world. I've got two.
And an hour and a half late.
I've got two great friends who wake me up every. Oh, wait. You guys didn't wake me up.
Prairie Dawn, listening to Add Illegal Curve, and it's devolved into Where Was Izzy? Best
Ezzy.
Ever.
Ezzy. That's Israel Adonijay. He's Izzy.
You're Ezzy?
Or the late Izzy Asper, but I'm Ezzy.
Scott Cawson at Illegal Curve, quote, my dad is my roommate, ? Does he still give you an allowance, too?
He does. I do get an allowance, and it's, it hasn't gone up since I was 12. Still getting $5. What can you get with $5?
Well, you can have you can get $5 in over 2 weeks and then leave it in your wallet and lose it.
Brandon Leach, B. Leach at Illegal Curve. Does that mean he will play today? I have a hunch that's not about Ezzy, though.
Rick Ralph, I should mention this. You saw that? Rick Ralph tweeted that it's a formality, and it's likely that Fair will play today.
Well, once they activate him, you expect them that they're going to play. Yeah. The question is, well, let's talk about Eric Fair. I mean, that's what I want to talk about this segment anyway.
He was traveling when we were in New York, Eric Fair was traveling with the team. He's been around the team, obviously, the whole year. He was a big acquisition. Remember the trade. People forget that trade was really a pretty good deal for the Jets. And, you know, we've talked about it before. You know, he's had a couple of shoulder surgeries.
That's the concern. The concern is his shoulders.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
The health of his shoulders is what everybody's, you know, concerned about. You know,
yep.
If he takes one more hit, is his shoulder going to pop out again? You know,
yep.
But certainly was worth the risk for the Jets. They gave up the equivalent of nothing to get him. Where does I know you want to ease him into the lineup. So, you know, do you see Eric Fair playing today? B, what role do you see him playing?
Well, that's a really hard question, Drew. I think you probably want to ease him on the fourth line for the time being. But the problem is he's a right winger and you have Blake Wheeler on the fourth line right now.
Yep.
Now, is Fair the kind of guy who can only play right wing?
Yeah, he's a right winger. I think what you'd probably want to do... I'm not a big fan of keeping this lineup the same because you won. I don't necessarily think that one game should be determining who... You know, you should have the most talented players in your roster.
Richie, there's something to say for the lines working, and you don't want to mess up those lines, right?
Right, but if you don't want to mess them up, then I would... What I would do is probably put Wheeler up to the first line, quote-unquote.
With Ladd and...
And Andropov. And put Wellwood with Stapleton and Fair. That's a pretty good...
Wellwood being the left winger there?
You could interchange Wellwood
or Stapleton because they both can play center or wing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's what I would do.
So you would move Wheeler up, put him with... Now, do you think Wheeler... Well, let's ask about it. Is Wheeler, Antropov, and Ladd not your fastest line in the world?
No, Wheeler's added speed there because he's a better skater than Wellwood. So.
That's true, I guess. Yeah. But so that's how you'd see it playing? Put Fair in there and let him, you know... Easier minutes, as it takes, the fourth
easier
line.
Easier minutes with Wellwood and Stapleton, two smaller guys. He's a big guy. He's got a good shot. He takes up space. He's got a good shot. He can cycle the puck. Good one-timer. Moves pretty well for his size. So he adds good element in there. He's a 20-goal scorer.
And Richie,
nothing to scoff at, especially on this squad.
I think your point is well taken, too, with the winning thing. And, I mean, people are going to look at the last two games. And, you know, I started to write the preview. I see Dave is going to finish my Jets Flyers preview.
Because you spilled some beer on it?
No, I went to bed so early that...
Right, of course. You have to be in bed by 9 o'clock.
I was just getting ready for the show.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to look at those last two games. And what I was going to say is I think these last two games have been the Jets' best games.
By far. There's no disputing that.
And it's because they were coming off of those two stinkers against Florida and Columbus. And Richie's point is good. After a win, you know, or when a team's on a winning streak and a guy comes back from injury, you're going to say, you don't want to mess things up, is this going to, you know, have a negative impact? I don't think whenever you're expecting one of your better offensive players, or at the very least, Fair is a very talented guy. I don't think it's ever a negative thing, and I agree he should be easily on the fourth line. Yeah. But as far as a guy like Blake Wheeler, people are going to look at that game and say, "Oh, okay, well he was moved down to the fourth line and he got his first goal." Well, let's not like read too much into that. The fact is,
it was a power play goal too.
It was a power play goal.
It was a good move. It was a strong move to the net, which is what he's got to do.
And I'm not taking anything away from it. And we were all really happy for him to get a goal because he was struggling. I mean, he's going to be counted on for goals this year, but. The Ladd Little Wheeler line was the line that had to be broken up, and I mean,
well, let's talk about that. That's what they've broken up Ladd Little Wheeler, and they got Little playing now with Bermie and with Kane,
and I think
they have Ladd with they had Ladd with Antropov and Wellwood last game, but you know Wellwood is the kind of guy who can play anywhere.
And Richie, I'm telling you, having Kane and Bermie flanking a guy like Little,
what do you think about that line?
Bermie and Kane, decent sized guys. Decently physical guys. Obviously, you know, the main thing that they bring is offense. Those are the two guys, along with Antropov and Wellwood, that have basically, you know, scored all the goals. You know, Slater and others have contributed too.
Sure.
But I mean, that line, I mean, to me, Little looked really good. And I mean, Little didn't have 5 points or anything like that. He had a good game, though. And I think that the Ladd Little Wheeler line was a line that was brought over from the Thrashers.
Yeah.
And they had success when Wheeler came over from Boston. And you know, he was almost at a point per game at parts of the end of the season last year with the Thrashers. But it wasn't working out. It wasn't just working out. And they weren't complementing each other. And now I think that they've decided to break up Burmistrov and Antropov, bring in Kane and put Little on that line. You know, that's...
Do you think that line works? Is that a long-term, you know, number one line? you know, for the rest of this year, is that what you would expect to see the three of them being together, playing together, all other things equal, injuries, everything else?
Are they going to? The question is, Richie, are they going to have any line that's going to stick the whole year?
Well, that's the question, Drew. And the question is Brian Little's presence on that line one of the directly related to Evander Kane's performance, or is he just riding Evander Kane and to a lesser extent, Burmistrov's coattails? Right. Evander Kane is an interesting player to analyze in that he doesn't pass a lot.
Nope.
Except for really on the cycle.
Yep.
He's a shooter who's showed his skill and demonstrated it quite well in the past two games. Is he playing really well because of Brian Little, or is Brian Little looking good because he's benefited from playing with Evander Kane? I don't know. I'm not sure Little's played that well over the past two games. He hasn't played poorly. He's played all right, but he hasn't been unbelievable. He hasn't caught my eye, aside from a couple of rushes that haven't really worked out. Evander Kane's driving the bus right now. Burmistrov's played well.
Yep.
Hasn't played unbelievably either.
Do you think Burmistrov misses Antropov at all?
Maybe a little bit, but not to the extent that maybe some worried about.
If you're Coach Noel, you're Claude Noel.
What about the first line, the quote-unquote, what about the Ladd, Antropov, Wellwood line? I mean, the line hasn't been that amazing.
No. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're Claude Noel right now.
Yep.
Give me your top two lines.
Tonight, I told you what I would do or what he's doing.
What you would do. If you were Claude Noel and you have this roster of players, put together, is it Little centering Antropov and Kane? Or, pardon me, Burmistrov and Kane?
Yeah.
Or do you prefer Burmistrov being with Antropov and somebody else playing that spot with Kane and Little?
But before you answer that, Richie, hold on, because I know, I want to hear your answer. But in a way, you know, we've said this from basically the time of the Thrashers coming to the Jets. There isn't an Ovechkin. There isn't a Crosby.
Right.
This is going to be a scoring by committee team. Isn't it in a way, you know, putting who ends up sticking tonight or, you know, in the foreseeable short-term future, isn't it nice that you can move these wingers around? I mean,
yes, for sure.
It is nice. I mean, I got to be unbiased here, Drew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your partiality can't be called into question.
Me as a Jets fan in here.
No, of course not.
But, I mean, they beat two really good teams here. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Washington Capitals, with two top lines that were basically changed recently.
They changed for the Tampa Bay game. That's the first time they played together.
I think there's something to be said about that. And, you know, in today's NHL, I don't know necessarily if there is such thing as four lines, you know, day after day after day. So,
Let me ask you. What is your top line? If you had to pick three guys to be on your top line, is it Ladd, Burmy, and Kane right now? Pardon me, Little, Burmy, and Kane. Is that your top line?
I don't know if Little works there long term.
So who would you see there then?
Well, I mean, I also like to see Burmy play center for the foreseeable future, but he's generally not. I think that long term his abilities, I think, are best suited to play center, to wander on the ice, to control the game. Maybe not right now. They don't want him to necessarily do that all the time. But
he has that ability.
Yeah, he has that ability. So in that case, I would rather,
You know, don't answer that. Ponder that question.
Okay.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we have Anthony Sanfilippo of the Delaware County Daily Times joining us. And we'll pick this up again in the segment after that.
Wow, dude. Show's just flying by here.
Yeah, I know. Talk about playing easy minutes. Ezzie Ginsberg is playing easy minutes.
Fourth liner.
Yeah.
6 or 7 minutes, but in those 6 or 7 minutes, I get it done.
I'll tell you what, you sweat like you're playing 20, though. You're listening to Santa Lucia Pizza Game Day on TSN 1290. When we come back, Anthony Sanfilippo.